The thrill and excitement of March Mania is here, and DraftKings Sportsbook, one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any college basketball bet. You can find all the lines and available odds, of course, at the DraftKings Sportsbook app. North Carolina listeners, don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app and use code SBNFL. New customers can bet $5 to get $150 instantly in bonus bets only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code SBNFL. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly on behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort. 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/bball for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
And here we go. It's another edition of the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show. I'm the editor-in-chief of arrowheadpride.com, Pete Sweeney. And the Kansas City Chiefs end up losing on Sunday Night Football by a score of 36-35. I'd like to welcome in my co-host for this Rapid Reaction Show, Steve Serta. Steve, I'll let you have your comments in a second here. I'm just going to make the first general point of what I'm feeling, and that is the fact that Kansas City has this player in Patrick Mahomes, and I think there are times when we just take this idea of, and granted, we saw it in the Super Bowl, but in the regular season, he's just so damn good that it allows just so much room for error, where he usually plays quite perfectly and you could have deficiencies, whether it be dropped passes, whether it be something where your offensive line isn't working, whether it be you're not getting penetration, whether it be your run defense is bad, your pass defense is bad, your pass rush is bad. There's no way to stop anybody, it seems like, in Baltimore. And Patrick Mahomes is just going to solve the problem. The thing that happened on Sunday Night Football is the problems surrounding Mahomes were just too much. And Mahomes himself had a bad interception. And the rest of the team, especially defensively, was just so poor that it didn't allow someone to have the one mistake. And I know that the Chiefs had the ball at the end, and it seemed like that they were able to sneak out another one. But they weren't able to do so after the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble, which was bad in itself. And so it almost took it out of Mahomes' hands. But I look at it this way. When you're looking at a team that is a Super Bowl or bust team every single year, it's tough with this pit in your stomach after a loss like this to feel like there's a bright side. But I just think sometimes Mahomes bailing this team out every single time, like it's going to catch up to them. And this is probably going to be a big wake-up call for the defense. There's going to be a lot of bad film for this team to watch. And I just tend to think in the grand scheme of things that sometimes you lose and you could be better for it. But there is nothing that you could say about the defense other than maybe Tyrann Mathieu's return and the two early picks that went right. And I had not felt that the defense felt as bad or looked as bad dating back to what was the end of the Bob Sutton era. And that is not an era in Chiefsdom that you want to be. And again, just too much for Mahomes to overcome. He wasn't perfect. He was near perfect on Sunday night, but he would have had to have been otherworldly and how we usually see them to overcome just how poor the defense was.
Yeah, you know, he threw his first interception in the month of September. This is his first loss in the month of September, and that just speaks to how otherworldly he's been as the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs. Like, you're just going to lose these football games sometimes. There's things to be concerned about. I'm not going to say that there isn't, because they didn't play a perfect football game. But
Mahomes was special when he needed to be at times, and then Lamar was just also special tonight. Like Lamar Jackson, we have to keep in mind that Lamar Jackson's also a former MVP, very special player. It's just we always do this thing where we compare him to Patrick Mahomes, and this was a big thing for Lamar Jackson winning this football game. This is a big thing for the Ravens in general. And the Chiefs made mistakes that they don't generally make. And usually when they make those mistakes, they overcome them. They just didn't overcome the mistakes tonight.
I just look at the statistics. I mean, you just look at the statistics of this game. When you consider this defense, the entire talking point of the offseason was they need to be better in the red zone. Well, there have now been 8 trips to the red zone, and 8 times a touchdown has been scored, both by the Cleveland Browns and the Baltimore Ravens. And it's not to say that a big Baker Mayfield can't make plays. It's not to say that Lamar Jackson, who you know I consider better than Baker Mayfield on my personal quarterback rankings, can't make plays. I mean, we saw him make a Mahomes-type pass tonight with Hollywood Brown, again, with the poorest Chiefs defense, just being wide open down the field where Lamar Jackson had to jump up and sort of toss it over the defense, and it wound up being what was a 42-yard touchdown pass. A couple comments on Lamar, too. He had an interview right after the game on NBC and was more or less like, we knew we were going for it because we had that win and we were in control of it. And this was a team in the Ravens who had a target on the Chiefs' back. Guess what? This isn't changing. It doesn't matter just because you lost, you're not going to have that target. Everybody wants to beat the Chiefs because you see what it mattered to an organization in Baltimore tonight with everybody going absolutely crazy. And that's the case every time now. And this is what you've been waiting for as a Kansas City Chiefs organization, as a fan base. You've wanted to be this team for a long time. And a week 2 regular season game is going to seem like the Super Bowl to the Baltimore Ravens. Last year's early season game where you lost to the Las Vegas Raiders is going to feel this important to teams like that that are trying to become you. You've now created this model where you're going to AFC championship games, you're winning AFC titles, you won the Super Bowl, you're the class of the AFC, and so this win matters. It's how are you going to respond, how are you going to stay on top of that hill. I think there's a lot of credit that is owed to defensive coordinator Wink Martindale. This guy loves blitzing, loves the cover zero. It's in his bones. Like, it would almost be the equivalent of Andy Reid saying, no, we're going to date it back to the 1950s and we're going to run 45 times tonight because that's the way to go. He went completely out of character because he knew he had to. He knew what he was doing against Patrick Mahomes simply wasn't working. There were minimal blitzes from the Baltimore Ravens. And as Chris Collinsworth was describing on the broadcast, they were coming up with new coverages where it seemed like the concept is there's 2 waves of coverage where maybe in a way it's delayed pressure for Patrick Mahomes, where maybe he gets a little comfortable, can feel like he steps up. Then you bring the next wave of pressure, and it worked and curbed him enough. And so I think with all the Ravens did, there are plenty of problems to fix in Kansas City, but I think they deserved this win too. And they were badly beaten up. I mean, if you look at our predictions at arrowheadpride.com, nobody was giving them a chance, and they did enough to deserve the win, Steve.
Yeah, and this was a tough football game. It was a fun football game. It's not fun when the Chiefs lose. Obviously, you want to see the Chiefs win every single game, but like you said, Pete, this is the Ravens' Super Bowl. Like, I'm not trying to say that this rivalry between Mahomes and Lamar, and we even made light of it a little bit this week, how Lamar had never beaten Mahomes, and it's not really a rivalry if the other person doesn't ever beat that player. But it kind of goes back to the Brady-Manning type of rivalry, where these guys are going to play each other every year moving forward. And I hope we get these kinds of games every year, because it was a fantastic football game to watch. As frustrated as you are that the Chiefs weren't able to pull it out, it was still really fun. And this is the Ravens Super Bowl. And last week it was the Browns Super Bowl. And next week, right, it's probably going to be the Chargers Super Bowl after they had a bad loss today. So you're going to get this every single week from whoever you're playing, because that's just how good you are now. And so you have to take a step back and realize that Patrick Mahomes is absolutely incredible, but he can't always pull it off. Like, sooner or later, something just doesn't break your way. And tonight it just didn't break their way. And kudos to the Ravens and Lamar Jackson and their coaching staff going forward on that 4th-and-1 call. It was just an incredible football game, and somebody had to win, and unfortunately wasn't the Chiefs tonight.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. It's just, I mean, you got nothing from the defensive side, and I think that is what was so frustrating. I mean, you look at the statistics with the Ravens, and they had 31 first downs. They were 6 of 11 from third down. I noted they went 4 of 4 in the red zone, the 481 to 405. They were picking on Chris Jones, it seemed like, early in the game, in the run game, running to his side wherever he was. They were trying to find him and run that way and truly see if he could set the edge. It seemed like that was a little bit of a liability. There were some problems with Nick Bolton in coverage. We mentioned the wide open pass to Hollywood Brown. That was clearly some kind of miscommunication. And you ended up with your lone right side being Tyrann Mathieu. And he was injected to the lineup along with Frank Clark. Clark had the one play in the open field, but was really quiet otherwise. And then you also had Chris Jones. And I just find, like, Chris Jones is at a crossroads, right? There is an average player in the NFL. There are above average players like Chris Jones. And that is fantastic to have on your organization. And then there's elite players like an Aaron Donald. And if you want to be on that level, there's got to be a certain point where teams aren't scheming to run at you, or if you could find a way to make an impact late in the game, this is where the elite players go and make a change and win the game. And look, to Jones's credit, we saw it last week against the Cleveland Browns, but these guys that are in that class do it more weeks than they don't. And I thought we didn't see enough pressure on the opposing offense from the Chiefs front. Their only sack of the night actually came from Daniel Sorensen. It seemed like the coverage left some room to be desired. And I just think the entire defense just simply had no answer for Lamar at the times that it mattered. Now, his statistics weren't wild. He just was making the plays when he needed to. It was timely plays. And at the end of the game, it just ended up being too much. And the Chiefs, they created that. They created a margin of error that was so small by the end of the game that something like an errant fumble by Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who's been pretty good at that, right? He doesn't fumble the football, puts the ball on the ground, and that's it, right? And so it is truly back to the drawing board for Steve Spagnuolo and company.
Yeah, and they weren't good last week. Like, we don't need to dance around it, because this is coming after a loss, whereas last week they were able to pull off a win. They weren't particularly good last week, and there's a lot of talk of, you know, the 2018 defense and how that held that team back from going to a Super Bowl, because it did. I don't think there's a chance this defense is that defense. There's just too much talent on that side of the ball for the Chiefs to be this bad. The Ravens are just a particularly bad matchup for what they're not good at. And it played right in the Ravens' hands tonight. They had an exceptional game plan, and I think they're a particularly bad matchup for Chris Jones, where he's never been a dominant run defender. The Ravens are particularly bad because they have so many run option type of things in their offense, where they can utilize so many guys that way to kind of keep you moving laterally and keep you guessing. And that's just a bad matchup for Chris Jones. So, yeah, it's disappointing that you didn't see him at least show up at some point. Like, I would have loved a fourth quarter Chris Jones sack or seen some kind of life from him. But this was a bad matchup for them in general, and the run defense is a problem. I'm interested to see what this run defense really looks like when Willie Gay comes back. And we don't really have a timetable on that. He's going to be out at least through next week, and then we'll kind of see once the Chiefs give us an update on that. But Willie Gay is the type of playmaker we believe, who has the athleticism, he could make some impact plays on the second level of that defense, because they just don't have it right now. And their run defense is the worst run defense in football through 2 weeks.
It seems like they really I mean, this is obvious, but they need to find a way to set the edge better. I know Frank Clark was just getting into the lineup. Chris Collinsworth had mentioned that he was rotating with Mike Danna to try to get that stopped. And you look at the linebacker core right now, Nick Bolton, we have to say this, has had moments where, in my opinion, he's flashed when he's looked good, when he's been around the line of scrimmage and he could find a way to successfully tackle. He's had a few moments where he's looked bad, particularly in coverage. Anthony Hitchens, even with the lost weight, he does look a little quicker. But you're right, at the second level, they don't have that speed. And you lost this game by 1 point, right? And you were expecting to have Willie Gay. And I think Willie Gay might have made the difference in this game with the speed and being able to chase down a Lamar Jackson when he's running for first downs. Or and this is tough, and this goes to, like, the analytical people who say you shouldn't draft a running back. I mean, the Ravens were down to, what, their fourth string running back, and you had Tyson Williams and Latavius Murray, who essentially was on the street after being thrown away by the New Orleans Saints, and he was having successful runs. You had Devontae Freeman at a certain point. And so no matter who it was, it just seemed like there were holes to be had against the Chiefs defense. And this is going to be, you know, a tough week in the sense, and you're going to have to look in the mirror. We will have these press conferences after Steve and I get off. If you're listening to our podcast channel, I'm seeing in the tweets now, because we're doing this live after the game, that Tyrann Mathieu essentially says, as you can hear in a few minutes here, right here, that, you know, sometimes you kind of got to get your ass whooped. And this is not going to be a fun week. It's not going to be a fun week to go over all the problems I think the Chiefs displayed. It's not going to be a fun week for Steve Spagnuolo to come to the podium on Thursday and have to figure out, you know, what to say as to what they need to do better. Andy Reid in the press conference, it sounds like he was mentioning how poor the tackling was, and it was. So there's a lot to be shored up on the defensive side of the football. I don't know if there's a ton to really say on offense. I thought the offense looked all right. You can't put the ball on the ground if you're Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If you're going to be a running back on the team, I mean, that stands out. I thought it was good that Patrick Mahomes was spreading the football. You know, if you want to look at the good parts of this game, we had wondered if there was going to be some supplemental production from other guys. You had passes caught by the regular guys, which is Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Ravens, by the way, had a good plan for Hill. He only ended up with 14 yards. Also, Pringle, Hardman, Robinson, McKinnon, Fortson, and even Michael Burton were in the mix, all with receptions. So Mahomes really spreading the ball around. And in this loss, I just want to say something about the Travis Kelce touchdown play. Now, the loss is fresh, and I say this with caution, and just try to keep, you know, try to think of your entire fandom in mind as I say this. 20 years from now, Steve, we're not going to really remember how this game ended. But I think this play by Travis Kelce is the greatest play of his career. It's a shame that it had to come in a loss. This is the epitome of who Kelce is. And you talk about, like, a Hall of Fame reel, and I think we would agree that he's going to be a Hall of Famer in a game that'll be very forgettable. I just think that, similar to Patrick Mahomes and what he did against the Tennessee Titans in the AFC title game, or even in that regular season game against the Ravens with 4th and 9, this probably was Travis Kelce's best play of his career. I don't think you're going to have another play that you can dig up. He's had some great plays, don't get me wrong. I don't think you could dig up one that was better than this, and I don't think he'll have a better one than this. Bobbing and weaving his way to through the defense, looking like a receiver at 260 pounds. And so I thought, you know, if you're digging and you're really seeking out cool moments, I thought that was a lone, you know, cool moment of the night that you can remember.
It was both the Pringle and Kelce touchdowns were both very similar plays where, yeah, you know, they were thrown to, like, the opposite, like, middle side of the field, and both of them just ran and just dodged tackles and shake tackles off. And Pringle just ran past everybody. But it was awesome to see, obviously, Kelce, that's just kind of what you expect from him, do crazy things that nobody else can do because you're a Hall of Fame player. But it was great to see Pringle do that. It was nice to see DeMarcus Robinson get the touchdown pass early in the game. But I don't know what to do with Mecole Hardman anymore. It's pretty clear. I know we're only into 2 weeks of the season, but it's pretty clear that he's not going to be your consistent number two wide receiver outside of Tyreek Hill. And Byron Pringle at this point, I think, is a more polished wide receiver than Mecole Hardman really is. And so that's concerning. And Clyde, the running game, all of that stuff is concerning. But yeah, it was nice to see Byron Pringle get the play and make the touchdown and get some attention in the offense, because I'd like to see him get more looks, to be honest, because it seems like we keep having the same conversation every single week about Mecole Hardman. And I'd rather just see those looks go somewhere else at this point.
I don't think we need to even get into Byron Pringle again, because we've said the same thing so many times. And I'll say it one more time, right? Anytime he gets targets, he seems to produce. That's essentially the conversation we have with Byron Pringle. We've had it like 10 times now. Whereas I think Mecole Hardman, fans expect more from him because of how high he was drafted. The Chiefs traded up for him. If Mecole Hardman was like a fifth or sixth round receiver and you were getting this production like DeMarcus Robinson, I don't know if you would feel as badly about it. But that to me is what you're getting out of him. It's the career of like a fourth or fifth round receiver that has managed to stick. And I think if you change the lens of how you're looking at Mecole Hardman, maybe you start to feel better about it. But I think you're right. I think we need to throw out this idea that he's going to be some kind of largely impactful player in the Chiefs offense. You talk about the second receiver on this team. I think it's a second receiver by committee. I think it's going to be the hot hand. And I think it's time for Pringle to get more of an opportunity. I think he should be in that spot. He took off tonight. I think that stood out. I think now you've seen it in a regular season game, where what was different about that play tonight is he did something that maybe other receivers can't do in the sense of where he was in that play and managing to really turn on the jets and get in the end zone. And maybe this finally gets on the radar of the Chiefs and he gets more opportunities. Byron Pringle, 2 targets, 2 receptions for 63 yards and the touchdown. Mecole Hardman had 3 more receptions, but 8 less yards in this game, only the 5 receptions on the 8 targets. So, yeah, I think it's time Pringle gets an opportunity. Why not? I don't think it's going to be happening for Hardman, and I think there's a case to be made that he is potentially a better option. And if that's the case, then let's see him a little bit more involved on a consistent basis.
Yeah, I mean, that's really all I want. That's all the Chiefs need. And that other wide receiver is consistency. And when Sammy Watkins was on the field, he could at least supply that for you, because you knew Sammy Watkins would be where he's supposed to be. And you knew he could make a play every now and then. That's all they really need there. They don't need somebody who's going to, you know, do it week in and week out. They just need it in clutch moments. And I think Byron Pringle at this point can supply that in a safer way than I feel like Mecole Hardman can. I do want to get back to the defense really quick.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I just, through 2 weeks now, I'm questioning the adjustments that they're making or whatever. And I know there's, you know, how much can you really do in game or whatever, but they're struggling across the board right now. And obviously last week, Chris Jones came up with the sacks that were huge later in the game. But this week, that type of stuff didn't happen. And now we're continuing to have serious secondary questions, where I know Dan Sorensen got the sack and he made a couple of plays late in the game, but early in that game, Dan was a liability for the Chiefs.
Right.
Juan Thornhill still isn't heavily involved in the rotation right now. And I'm just curious, like, I just want to know what it's going to take to get Juan Thornhill out there, because we've talked about it a lot. He's shown flashes of the athleticism that you just don't get with Dan Sorensen. And I have to imagine if you just let him out there and let him work and get the reps, that whatever the question marks are, we can figure it out on the fly, because it can't be worse than what we're getting right now.
Right. No, it's all good points. And I think there's a few people who, you know, if you're naming people that in the defense who we're just like not hearing about, and they're just not making as much of an impact as maybe we expected. Jaron Reed is a player that Andy Reid really threw in front of us and said we should be talking more about Jaron Reed. I think Chris Jones, we had mentioned Jones for more of a, like I was saying before, I don't have to get back into that conversation, but taking that next step to an elite level. And look, I'm not putting that on him. He's put that on himself and how he's depicted himself in the media. And I love that. I love that. But I think if you're going to try to consider yourself this elite player who is going to be threatening for the sack record, which I am rooting for, this was my bold prediction. You just got to do more. You got to be more impactful on Sundays. Frank Clark has been invisible. I'm seeing on Twitter that he is speaking to the media tonight, so we will see what he says. And you're right about the safety play and the play in the secondary. I just think there's a lot to clean up. And I think what they do next week in a home game now, it's a division game against the Los Angeles Chargers, will tell you a lot about who the Kansas City Chiefs are and can they rebound and look a lot better. Because to me, it doesn't get any easier. I subscribe to the idea that Justin Herbert is a better quarterback than Lamar Jackson. I think these guys are both top 10 quarterbacks, but I just like Justin Herbert better. To me, he reminds me more of Patrick Mahomes than Lamar Jackson does. And to me, Patrick Mahomes is the perfect quarterback to have for your football team. So this defense is going to have to figure this out quick, or all of a sudden you might be facing some territory you've not been facing in a long time. And it's a loss to a division rival. And then all of a sudden you're behind in the AFC West. This has not been a place the Chiefs have been at in a while, where their backs are, I know it's early, but their backs are really going to be up against the wall, and they got to figure this out really fast.
Justin Herbert, in my opinion, is the second best quarterback, or second quarterback I would want in the NFL quarterbacking my franchise outside of Patrick Mahomes. Right. And he's an exceptional player, and we're going to see how that unfolds next week. And there's definitely reasons to be concerned about it after two games. I still don't think, and we're only 2 weeks into this thing, we still haven't seen a complete game from the Chiefs, even against the Browns. Like, the Browns were in total control early on in that game, and then it took a miraculous play from Patrick Mahomes to kind of turn the tide. Early on, Chiefs were looking good in this one, and then it all just kind of fell apart as Lamar just started gashing them for huge chunks of yardage. Like, there was serious miscommunications on defense tonight. The jump pass from Lamar to Hollywood Brown, which was a fantastic play by Lamar Jackson, but either Charvarius Ward was supposed to be manned up on Hollywood Brown, or somebody was supposed to supply him with some deep coverage over the top, and they did not do it, because Hollywood Brown should not have been that wide open. There should not have been that miscommunication where Lamar Jackson walks into the end zone at the end of the football game when you know what Lamar can do with the ball in his hands. Like, it should not be that easy. And you know that they like to use him that way around the goal line. There's just a lot of miscommunications and sloppy things going on right now. And it's on offense too. Like, obviously you look at the good stuff and you don't want to focus on the bad stuff because they're so incredible and they're so capable of putting up points at any time, but you have to focus on that stuff sometimes. And they're playing a little sloppy to start the year.
Yeah, I commented before about what the Ravens did to counteract the Chiefs to an extent. I mean, this is still a team, Steve, that put up 35 points. When you're putting up 35 points a game, you're in the 30s. It's not the offense's fault, even with the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble. But Wink Martindale only blitzed on 12.9% of the dropbacks. Like, that is a complete shift. And then back to Lamar Jackson, it is, and I want to emphasize this, right? Not a lot of teams have a walk in the park with Lamar Jackson. And let's make sure we're clear with that. Like, we're not saying that this is an easy thing to do. It's way easier said than done. Hey, go stop Lamar Jackson, one of the most athletic people in the world, right? But they needed to be better. I mean, it was just all night in these gut check moments where in the bigger moments, I think, you know, the opposing players are going to want to have the ball in their hands. And you just knew Lamar Jackson at times in this game was keeping it. And I think that was what was so frustrating too, because I think we've so grown so accustomed to see Patrick Mahomes do this to people, where, you know, Mahomes is going to want the ball in his hands and he's going to go beat you. And you know that it's coming. And guess what? There's nothing you could do about it. That's what Lamar Jackson was doing in this game. You knew that he was going to keep the ball at times. There was even some flashiness to it too, where he flipped into the end zone. This is a team, as long as they're able to overcome their injuries, you know, the Chiefs could see again in the playoffs. So you hope that they can get this figured out and they remember that moment in particular. Steve, before we go, because I do want to get to a break here, and then if you're listening again on our podcast channel, we will have the press conferences that the Chiefs have after the game. Any final points, any final thoughts about this night as we look toward next week?
They got a lot of things to figure out on defense, and they've got a tough schedule. There's no gimme games in the NFL. They've got a couple, you know, moving forward. But yeah, next week it's the Chargers and it's Justin Herbert. And this team has got some issues right now. I still think they're the best team in football or second best team in football, but you can't give up 250 yards on the ground. They got a lot of things that they need to figure out on defense. And I still think that they've got some growing pains on offense that they're working through. But again, when they put up 35 points, it's hard to complain about any of that.
Yeah, I think, and I think we have to end here. This is not going to be a fun thing to say, but we got very excited this year with Patrick Mahomes at his golf outing, said the goal was 20-0. That is no longer possible. So that is now a storyline that you could put to rest. I don't mind that from Patrick Mahomes. I actually love that. I think in the media and even as fans of this team, you're always wanting them to just be candid and to say what's on their mind. And for him to have those lofty goals, I think is great. And I think it's important. I think it's great for the team to get behind them. I think there is with winning, and I'll mention this again and sort of go back to my first point. When you're winning each and every week, I think sometimes it's natural to forget about some of the problems you may have. So like, whereas I think, you know, 20-0 would have been great. One of the best moments I thought of the 2019 championship run was that gut check in Tennessee, you know, the last time they lost on the road in a regular season game. And then they had to get together and they said, we're either going to be one team or we're going to be another team. MVP Pinnell came on board. The run defense looked good the rest of the way. And they rode that effort combined with the offense to a Super Bowl championship. I thought that the Raiders loss last year was key in saying, look, you know, you're not this superhuman team that is going to be able to make a ton of mistakes and just go out and beat whoever because you have Patrick Mahomes. You can lose. It's a nice reminder that you could lose. And again, this is way earlier than you would have wanted the Chiefs to ever have a loss. But Tyrann Mathieu's already said it, as I was saying before, where, you know, sometimes it's good to get your ass whooped. And that was exactly what happened tonight. The defense got their ass whooped. We can complain about the offense and we can complain about Mecole Hardman and like I said, the Clyde fumble. But this was not the offense's fault. When you're able to put 35 points on the board and, you know, you take the Mathieu interception for 6 away if you want. So let's say 28, even 28, you should be able to get the victory. So 20-0 won't happen. And so now it's OK. How can we go 19-1 then? Because I think you can turn inward and say this is what we need to do to be a better football team. And it's going to have to start next week against an LA Chargers team that is also going to be looking to get their first win. They got a good offense, first win for Herbert against Mahomes. They got a good offense, and they are gunning for the division as well. Win or lose, we still Arrowhead Pride. That's a motto I just made up, Steve. So that means we will be right back to it tomorrow right here on the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network with an Arrowhead Drive, our first ever Arrowhead Drive coming off a losing effort because we started it in the summer and they won all their preseason games. So we'll see how that changes the tone a little bit. We'll continue on with Out of Structure right now as we speak. If you're listening on the live stream, you can submit your questions to Ron Kopp and Matt Stagner. Anything you want to discuss when it comes to this team, they will break down on the Out of Structure podcast. We've got the Editor Show. We've got the Great British Chiefs Show. We'll do an interview series this week. We got Show and BK, Arrowhead Drive, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. As I always say, if you're listening on the podcast network, please rate and review us. We appreciate it. Sunday Night Football did not end how we were all hoping for with the Baltimore Ravens defeating the Kansas City Chiefs 36-35. For Steven Serta, I'm Pete Sweeney. Stay tuned after the break for the Kansas City Chiefs post-game press conferences.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
Welcome back into the Arrowhead Pride Rapid Reaction Show. I'm host and audio producer of the Arrowhead Pride Podcast Network, Steven Serta. Chiefs lose a heartbreaker to the Baltimore Ravens on Sunday Night Football. And after the game, we heard from Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, Tyrann Mathieu, and Frank Clark. We will go in that order, starting with Andy Reid, then quarterback Patrick Mahomes, then tight end Travis Kelce, then safety Tyrann Mathieu. And we'll finish things up with defensive end Frank Clark.
So, there's really nothing to report. I mean, a couple guys got nicked up, but not bad. We'll see how everybody is tomorrow. Listen, turnovers, they kill you in this league, and we had two of them down the stretch, crucial time. So we've got to do better. We learned from that. Got to tackle better on the defensive side, and we'll work on that and get better at that. So guys played hard. They just, the other group took advantage of the turnovers. At that time, Jared.
Coach, what do you think of the Ravens had 250-plus yards rushing, three touchdowns? What went into some of the issues against them tonight?
Yeah, so, I mean, it's a team effort. When you have the opportunities to tackle, you got to tackle. And I didn't think we did very well with that the first half in particular. Gave up a lot of yards there. So you got guys in position. You got to make the tackle. We got to make the play. And we got to do a better job getting off blocks. I mean, that's right now. That's what we've got to take care of. And but again, all that said, you have the ball driving down that last series. What should have been the last series, and we fumbled. So, you know, we knew that they're a good run team. So but the guys pushed through and we had ourselves in a position where we could win the game and didn't win it. So we've got to learn from all of this and do better.
Coach, to that point, you all only had 62-yard rushing. Do you think that you might have gone away from the rushing game too soon, or do you think it was just how the ball game just played?
Yeah, so listen, I think that's how it went. We ran the ball a lot decent in the first half, and then came back with it the second half, and had a couple plays where we lost yardage. You know, that didn't help us. And then came back with it again. We end up with a turnover. But we felt like we could throw the ball too. We felt like we could do both. But, we probably didn't get enough yards rushing.
Coach, you had some different guys in the passing game tonight that were involved.
Yeah.
Was that more of a point of emphasis, or was that just
yeah? Yeah, it was kind of take what you get. And, we had routes that were good versus all. And, Wink did a nice job with what he threw at us and ended up getting us there at the end.
How would you describe sort of how they played you when you guys had the ball? It looked like they blitzed less but still got pressure.
Yeah. Yeah, they blitz less. We put ourselves in some long yardage third downs there, you know, that second half. And can't do that, not against that team. So they got to be workable, and you're looking at 12, you know, plus yards. And that's a problem against guys that can rush pass or something. You know, but again, you got to take care of first, second down, and against a good football team. You got to play better football against a good football team. That's what you have to do. Yeah. I'm not sure how, you know, I haven't seen the replay of it, but it looked like from the naked eye that he didn't quite have it all tucked in there. You know, like, I don't know if there was an exchange problem or what happened, but it looked like the ball turned a little bit and the guy got his hand on it. Yeah. So, yeah, I'm not worried about him fumbling. Other than this one, we got to fix it. But that's not what he is. I mean, he's not a fumbler.
Andy, it looks like camp, you had some reason to be optimistic about the way your defense was going to play. I mean, has this caught you by surprise, what's going on in the last
Yeah, listen, we played the two best, probably the two best run teams in the league, right, back-to-back here. So, and, yeah, we need to do better. I mean, that's bottom line. The thing I see, we've got to make sure that we tackle, right, given the opportunity. And then, you know, get off blocks. I mean, those were kind of the two primary things on that side. And then the turnovers. I mean, it's not a secret here on what took place. I've got to make sure. I mean, it's my team. I got to make sure that I get those things done. And it didn't get done the way that it needed to be done tonight.
As we mentioned, you know, talked about tight end was first fumble. Patrick, of course, in the month of September, first time having an interception. What have that played unfolded? Is that something that you just learn to live with, or do you tell them sometimes just take the sack and, you know, not take those type of chances?
Yeah, so you don't want, obviously, the interception. You don't want to throw those. But he's made some plays doing that. But in that case, that probably, you know, he'd probably like to have that one back.
Coach, a couple more guys. Tyron's first game back.
Yeah, you know, he did a nice job with the interception part, and it's good to have him back in there.
Okay. I coach a lot of leaders in your locker room. So what gives you confidence that you guys will bounce back
from this? Yeah, well, they're real about things. They know. I mean, this isn't something that they don't know. I mean, I think it's obvious what took place in this game, and we've got to do better. You know, I mean, we've got to fix that. So the leadership in there, they're real about things, and they'll get it fixed.
Last one, in these two games, 8 trips in the red zone for your defense, 8 touchdowns surrendered. Just what are you finding that's a common issue, or are there multiple issues in the red zone?
Yeah, so I mean, there are a few different things, but they're working on it and trying to secure it where it's better. And we'll keep working on it until we get it right. Yeah. So.
All right. Thank you. All
right. Yep.
Yeah, we got in the field goal range pretty quickly there, and then we were pretty much just trying to get down as close as we could to let Bucker kick the field goal, and the dude made a good play. He was getting blocked. He threw his hand out and hit it directly on the ball. So I mean, we were executing. They made a play, and you lose games when teams make plays like that at the end of games.
You threw your first interception in the month of September. What was it that you saw and you didn't? Or did you feel the pressure coming? Or were you trying to make a play when you were going down? Is that something?
Yeah, I should have just thrown it to D-Rob in the flat. I saw D-Rob in the flat, and then I saw Trev come back to me. The dude grabbed my leg. I thought I could kind of get my other leg down. He kind of spun me, and it's just a dumb interception. I mean, it's probably one of the worst interceptions I've probably ever had.
What did you see them do against you defensively? They blitzed a lot more than
pass. Yeah, they put a lot of shell. They kind of played over the top of Tyreek pretty much the entire game. They chose their times to kind of double 87 a little bit. But, I mean, if you look at a positive, I mean, I thought the other guys stepped up and made plays. I feel like teams are going to start doing this. You saw Pringle with a big play. You saw McColl make a lot of tough catches. D-Rob with a big touchdown play. So those guys are going to have to contribute for us this year. And so to have them have games in a caliber team that we played today, we can take that as a positive going into the next week.
Last week we talked about, you having so many targets towards Kelce. Was it a concerted effort on your part to get more of the players involved, or was it just how the
Yeah, I think it's just kind of how the game went. I think I said it last week. It's they were letting Trav and Tyreek get open, so I was giving them the ball. But if teams are going to really play over the top of Tyreek or try to double Trav at certain points of the game, then we have the guys that can make plays. And you saw that with the guys that are making plays today. And I have full confidence in those guys.
Does a game like this reinforce the idea that when you have a lead, like a double-digit lead, ball in midfield, you have a chance to bury a team?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what kind of the whole point. I mean, the interception was not only dumb in the sense that it was a bad throw, not even close to the receiver, but it was dumb at that point in the game. Even if I just throw the flat and he doesn't get the first down, we have a chance to decide if we're going to try to kick a field goal or punt and kind of pin him back. So, I mean, it's just a lot of little things in games like this that kind of form you to get losses in the end. Yeah, I mean, we'll need them the whole entire season. Don't let one play define you. I mean, it's a long season. Obviously, we lost. I mean, it's a good football team that we played at their place. But it's a long season, and if we want to be great, if we want to have a chance to try to make another run at this thing, he's going to be an important part of it.
Last question. We just got to man up and fix the problems, fix the issues. Turnovers are big. I mean, on the offensive side, just accountability, making sure you're making the blocks and setting up the guys to, you know, do their job. And that's the biggest thing, is just making sure that we're playing four quarters of football and not letting up at any point in the game.
Trav, as a leader of this team, what do you feel about
after the game? Man up. I mean, it is what it is. I mean, and that's just not to Clyde, that's to everybody in the building. That's to everybody in the locker room. We'll never point a finger and say this is one person's loss. That's just not how we roll here in Kansas City. We'll fix it. It's a four quarters of football that we got to fix, that we got to get better at.
How did you see the play, guys?
Yeah, we thought we were going to see a lot more man, a lot more blitzes, but and that's the thing. When a team is rushing three and playing off coverage, we got to be able to put up more points, flat out. I don't know which play you're talking about. I just know
it.
No. Usually he gets that ball off. Just a good play by them, and you know we got to be better on the offensive side. I'm sure Pat will say the same thing.
Good.
Perhaps just take two of your touchdowns. I mean, it looked like maybe seven guys had a chance to tackle you.
What you saw was a lot of teamwork, man. I wasn't the only one out there. I was just the one with the ball, man. A lot of guys working to get guys downfield, and you know that's what we pride ourselves on in this building is, you know, trying to spring another guy for a touchdown. You saw Tyreek on Pringle's touchdown do the same thing, and you know that's just those are plays that you know we have pride with.
All right, thank you.
Return tonight, two interceptions in the first half. Just take us through that, and you know how you're feeling after the first half.
I feel kind of bad, you know what I mean? We lost. It feels good to make plays, you know, for your team, but I'm not, you know, too worried about personal accomplishments right now. Felt like this was a game we should have won. But that happens when you let good teams stick around towards the end. They find a way to win the same way we do. So, just got to get it cleaned up.
It looked like at camp you guys had a lot of reason to be optimistic about the way you're playing defensively. So what's happened between now and then? Or could you see this coming?
I mean, this is assignment football. It doesn't matter what defense you play on. It all comes down to assignments. And then from there, it's execution. And anytime you, you know, miss a line or you blow an assignment against a good team, they're going to make you pay for it. So, it really just wasn't our best effort defensively tonight. Just miscommunication. I'll take the blame for that.
John, you have a way of rallying the troops, so to speak. This is two straight games now the Chiefs have had issues against the run. What are you telling your guys coming into this week of practice to try to right that ship for the rest of the year?
I mean, it's a commitment that you have to make to yourself first. every play isn't going to be a pass. I think when you play against these kind of teams, the Ravens, the Titans, the Browns, you have to be ready to stop the run. You have to be committed to that. And that's not just the D line. That's the other guys behind them as well. So it's a team effort, and we just have to be more committed to, you know, stopping the run. It's not all about, you know, the pass and the sacks and the interceptions. We just got to find a way to get back, you know, recommitted to stopping that.
Couple more guys. Is this one of those good check games that can help you, you know, going throughout the season?
I mean, every now and then you need an ass whooping, you know, and I think our team responds best, you know, when we get punched in the mouth and we're not able to kind of recover from it. So we got some good coaches, man. We got great leadership, and I just look forward to seeing us, you know, turning the page, going back home against a division opponent, another must-win game, a game we got to have against another good football team, great quarterback, great skilled players. I mean, this is an everyday, every week thing that you have to stay dedicated and stay committed to. So I just look forward to seeing our group respond.
I know you had on last chance to go to practice in past months, but, you know, talking about fundamental football execution, you know, there's a lot of tackles. How do you rectify that this week?
Well, you come back in the lab, you put your head down, you don't point fingers, you take the coaching, as hard as it may be, and then you just accept the responsibility. You know, obviously that starts with the leadership, so we can't wait to get back to work. I know I can't. So, like I said, we got another big-time game coming up, and so it's going to be important to see how we respond. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Yep. Hi, guys. Frank, obviously, your return to the crew. You haven't practiced much since training camp and preseason games. How are you feeling coming back?
Feeling good. Came out healthy. So, you know, that was the highlight of my night, honestly. And, you know, just looking forward to getting back out there this week, you know, and prepare for the Chargers. They're a tough football team. You know, every time we play this team, since I've been here the last 3 years, they give it all they got. You know, Lamar, a heck of a football player. You know, he does everything that he can. You know, unfortunately, you know, the last two games, there's been some tight games between us. We was able to pull them out. But, you know, this game, you know, they took it. You know, they came in, you know, beat us in a rushing attack. You know, we missed tackles, a bunch of key plays, gave them the ball, and didn't make enough plays. Just simple.
I have to ask this question. I believe this is our first time talking to you since mandatory mini camp. A lot of stuff that happened over the summer. Where are you now with your legal case, and are you facing any kind of suspension that you know of?
My legal team is taking care of everything. You know, I was advised not to speak on it, you know, until you know, further notice. But my legal team taking care of everything. You know, I have full confidence in everything that they're doing, and you know, you got to see in the future.
Frank, the leaders in your locker room.
Oh man, you know, we got a great group of guys, you know, and you know, I got all the confidence in the world in my guys, you know, on defense and offense, you know, starting over there on offense, you know, with Pat and, you know, Trav and all those guys, you know, the offense did a heck of a job, you know, fighting for us tonight, you know, defense, we didn't do enough, I feel. Actually, you know, T, Honey Badger, he came out, you know, had two picks earlier in the game that, you know, kind of, you know, switch the tides of the game for us, but you know, it just wasn't enough. You know, in the future, we just got to limit the mistakes and, you know, the missed tackles. You know, of course, when you miss tackles, you miss over 10 tackles in the game. You know, that calls for devastation for a defense. So, you know, you got to make the tackles, and you got to, especially when you're going against a strong offense like, you know, the Ravens.
Frank, last question, Adam. How do you get better at tackling during the season? You guys don't hit much during practice or hit at all during practice. How do you get better at tackling during the season?
Well, when you got that one day where you can tackle and it is passed, you know, the emphasis is, you know, on striking and the emphasis is on tackling. So, you know, that's when you got to pop those pads a little bit more. You know, you can't go into practice, you know, running by plays, the plays where you can get, you know, be a little bit more aggressive. You can't tag off on guys and stuff like that. And, you know, sometimes you get lax and you do that. You know, you're coming off games where you know, it was a hard game, you know, a lot of hitting and stuff, so guys are sore, you know, but it's just putting the emphasis on that in practice. You know, when we do got those pads on that day out the week, it's just taking full advantage and, you know, going out there and, you know, just competing and, you know, having fun with it, but, you know, also understanding that, you know, this is going to transfer over to the game in the future.
All right, thank you.
Appreciate y'all.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.